May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I grew up in a town called Middlesbrough in the northeastern part of England. And the town in Kentucky called Middlesbrough got its name from that town. Because in Middlesbrough, in the Industrial Revolution, they discovered iron ore in the hills. And they needed coal to fire up the furnaces. So people came as far as Kentucky to find coal. So the town of Middlesbrough, Kentucky, is named after the town Middlesbrough in England. I only became active in the church really when I was about 14 years old. And the church that I attended was called the Church of the Ascension. We had a very active youth group at the Church of the Ascension. And we had a singing group. And we travelled all over the country, singing at various churches and at different venues. As well as our parish activities, our youth group was involved very heavily in diocesan youth activities. Church of the Ascension in Middlesbrough was part of the Diocese of York. And every year the Diocese of York arranged two trips for the youth of the diocese. One of the places they went to was Taizé, which is in France. It's the ecumenical spiritual centre started by Brother Roger in the 1940s during the Second World War. The second trip that the diocese offered was to a place off the west coast of Scotland called Iona. It's an island that was the birthplace of Christianity for Scotland and Ireland. And it's a place where saints like Columba and Patrick used for retreat. I went a few times to Iona, but it was not the shortest of journeys from Middlesbrough. We had to set off in the early afternoon, drive all night to the western coast of Scotland to a coastal town called Oban. Then you had to get on the ferry from Oban to the Isle of Mull. Then you had to get on the bus from the Isle of Mull and go the whole length of the island until you got to this little fishing village called Fionnfort. Then from Fionnfort, you had to take another boat, which was probably about the size of Ann Richmond's car there, that Volvo, across to Iona. One day, about six of us had gone back to the island of Mull to do some work. It was getting to be about sunset. And about six of us then got back on the boat, back to Iona. I sat at the back of the boat. And it was about sunset and the sun was going down. And I was sat at the back of the boat by myself and something incredible happened to me on that boat. I heard the most beautiful sound of singing. I knew that no one else heard this singing because I could tell by the faces. So I did nothing, and I said nothing, except simply just to close my eyes and be absolutely bathed in that moment. Because in that moment, I felt an incredible presence of God, an incredible sense of holiness. It was the most beautiful sound that I've ever heard. It was the most beautiful of settings in which to hear it. And it was the most beautiful of experiences. You may think I'm a bit crazy, but to this day I believe I heard the sound of angels singing. I share that with you this morning because my guess is that all of us, at some time in our spiritual life, have had similar experiences. When we felt so close to God, so loved by God, and so surrounded, and so bathed in God. Those experiences we've come to call the mountaintop experiences. And they're called so because of the mountaintop experience of the disciples when Jesus was transfigured, which we celebrate that today. Now this must have been really important because it's one of the few stories that's recorded in all three synoptic gospels. And apart from some minor differences, the story is almost the same. Now, whenever the story is told, though, it seems to me that the focus is always on Jesus. How he was transfigured, how he was transformed, how he became brilliantly white and dazzling. But you know something? I believe that at the transfiguration, it was not only Jesus that was changed. I believe at the transfiguration, those disciples, Peter, James, and John, were also changed. That was their mountaintop experience. Now, Peter, God bless his soul, Peter was just Peter. Okay, see, Peter had this problem. Engage the mouth before the brain. Always in the Gospels, engage the mouth before the brain. Peter, I believe, would have made a wonderful Episcopalian. And the reason I believe Peter would have made a wonderful Episcopalian is that when something wonderful or incredible is happening, we want to form a committee and talk about it. See? So there was Peter, something wonderful, incredible is happening, and Peter wants to form a committee and talk about it and do something. But in spite of Peter's need to do something, those disciples had to be changed. They had seen something incredible and something wonderful. They'd seen something godly and they'd seen something holy. And it had to do something to them. I believe something must have changed inside for those disciples. Before Jesus took them up on the mountain, my guess is that those disciples had a pretty good idea that this Jesus, who they were following, was pretty special, pretty important in the whole scheme of things. But my guess is also that that idea was reinforced because of what happened to them on the mountain. Jesus just been transfigured. And there's Jesus speaking with two rocks of Jewish faith, Moses and Elijah. No wonder Peter wanted to stay. No wonder he wanted to stay. Because in that moment of incredible holiness, Peter wanted to stay. My guess is that when each one of us have those moments of incredible holiness, those mountaintop experiences, we also want to stay there. The mountaintop experiences are part of our spiritual life. But let me tell you, they are not the be-all and they are not the end-all of our spiritual life. They can be life-changing, but they are to change our life, not for the mountaintop, but for what lies at the foot of the mountain. Life. Real life. Because just as Jesus took those disciples up the mountain, by golly, Jesus just as well took those disciples down the mountain. And what they found was that life back down at the mountain hadn't changed. They changed, but nothing had changed down there. Because when they get back, what they find immediately is a little sick boy that nobody can cure. They find a father who's distressed. They find a crowd not knowing what to do. They find people who are flustered. People who seemed incompetent in a situation of need. Welcome to life. That's what they came back to. Real life in a real world where Jesus is needed. You know, so often we tend to think that our Christian faith is this kind of cocoon that can shield us from real life. That not only protects us somehow from bad things happening, but also asks us not to be aware of those needs around us. And sometimes Christianity is seen as an emotional high, a frequent mountaintop experiences that often become the measuring stick to some as to what kind of Christian we are. You know, I've done a lot of work at the Cathedral Domain, both at kids' camps and adult retreats. And there is never a camp that goes by or never an adult retreat that finishes without somebody saying, you know, I really don't want to go home. Not that they don't want to go home, they don't want to leave the domain. They don't want to leave that experience. Because the experience was so good. The community so loving. And the fellowship so real. The presence of God so powerful that they don't want to leave it. You know, I believe that when those disciples were transfigured, they didn't want to come down that mountain. But Jesus took them. Because that's where they were needed. All of us, to some degree, have our closer moments with God. Those experiences that lift us out of ourselves to a presence that's so powerful it overcomes us. But in the reality of our Christian faith, we cannot stay there. Those are the moments we may look back to, revisit for our encouragement, but we cannot live life waiting for the next one, because in between them, real life has been lived. People's needs are being shown to us. People are asking for help. And people are needing to know that the God who created them, redeemed them, sustained them, loves them. On that night that we got back to Iona from that boat trip, it was my turn to wash dishes. I was on KP duty that night. I'm not sure that I washed the dishes any better because of my experience on that boat. But I sure did know that God was present in my life. And my call that night was to wash the dishes that other people had dirtied with the food that was given to them. Amen.